Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God who speaks. And we thank you that what you speak is true and beautiful and useful. And Father, we pray this morning that you help us to receive it with ears of faith, whether for the first time or in a new and richer way. Father, help us to receive your word with the ears of faith. And Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In 160 AD, Polycarp was the elderly bishop of Smyrna in Turkey, and he was one of the last Christian leaders who could say they had actually met one of Christ's apostles. The people of Smyrna despised the Christian minority because they lived differently, and particularly because they refused to worship the Roman gods like everybody else. And eventually that hatred boiled over and Christians were seized and executed in the public arena. And despite his advanced age, Polycarp was arrested. The proconsul, though, he urged the old man to save himself. He told him, "Renounce Christ and I will set you free." Polycarp's reply, 86 years I have served him and he's done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king and saviour?" The proconsul said, "I have wild animals. I will throw you to them if you do not repent." Polycarp's response, "It is unthinkable for me to repent from what is good and turn to what is evil." "If you despise the animals, I will have you burned," said the proconsul. Polycarp's answer, "You threaten me with fire which burns for an hour and is then extinguished. But you know nothing of the fire of the coming judgment and eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. Why are you waiting? Bring on whatever you want." And so they executed him and the crowd cheered. In March this year, 2022, Yalam Sankar, a village pastor from southwest India, was threatened with death by Hindu nationalists if he continued to preach his message about Jesus. The Christians in his village had previously been warned if they didn't turn back from their faith, then they were going to experience a great tragedy. 2 days later, Pastor Yalam Sankar was attacked by 5 men with machetes and knives and he was stabbed to death. Since the beginning, Christians have been willing to die rather than deny their faith in Jesus because they have such a clear vision of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. They have discovered a truth worth dying for. Imagine that in our shallow, corrupt, cynical, whatever works for you world. Imagine discovering a truth so beautiful that it was worth dying for. The words that Chris read for us were written 2,000 years ago by the Apostle Paul. Paul had devoted his life to that truth worth dying for. And as he writes, he is on death row, about to be executed for it. And he's writing one last time to a younger pastor, Timothy, telling him to take the baton and to guard that truth worth dying for so that other people would discover it for themselves. And in the few paragraphs that we're focusing in on today, Paul reminds Timothy what this truth is that he is to guard and pass on, even at the cost of his life, as Paul has passed it on at the cost of his life. When you know that somebody has been willing to die so that you get to hear a message, it makes it at least worth seriously listening to, right? What is this message so precious that for centuries men and women have risked everything so that other people could discover it? It is a message about who Jesus is, what Jesus brings, and how to respond. Firstly, who Jesus is. Look with me from verse 8. What was the page number again? 1853, if you're using the Pew Bible. I encourage you to have it open. 1853, chapter 2, look for the little 8, verse 8. Paul writes, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal." Gospel means good news. Timothy, here is the good news I am suffering for that you must remember and pass on. Jesus is the Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Many hundreds of years earlier, God had made a promise to Israel's great king David, of David and Goliath fame. God told David that through his family, God was going to establish a great and glorious kingdom that would last forever. God would one day raise up a descendant of David to be his anointed one. That's what Christ means, anointed one. There's all sorts of things foretold about Christ in the Old Testament. He would be the one perfect leader who always acted with perfect integrity, perfect justice, and perfect wisdom. Given some of the political news that we've had this week, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? He would lead God's people into perfect peace and blessing. The way things are going with the climate and the economy and the divisions in our society, that sounds pretty good too, doesn't it? And his kingdom would be forever. It would never run down. It would never collapse. It would power on in peace and righteousness and goodness forever. Of course, for a king to lead such an eternal kingdom, what would have to be true of him? He would have to be eternal himself. We've got lots of leadership problems in our world, right? But the ultimate leadership problem is death. In the USA, presidents are term limited to 8 years in office. But in reality, every leader is term limited. They can only serve until they die. Doesn't matter how great and noble and wise, eventually they die. Alexander the Great created one of the largest empires in history. And then he died and it all fell apart. Same is true of every other leader labelled the great throughout history. It wasn't enough for them to be the great. They needed to be the eternal. And so if it wasn't unlikely enough that the Old Testament prophets foretold a perfect king, they also foretold an eternal king, a king more powerful than death. And Paul's message worth dying for is this: in Jesus, God sent that king. Certainly the people who heard Jesus were deeply impacted by the wisdom of his teaching. Certainly they saw things with their own eyes that showed that the power of God was on him. But he was like a backwards peasant, dismissed and despised by the spiritual experts. And then he got himself executed by the government. Doesn't really sound like the stuff of kings. Except for what happened next. His tomb found empty by bewildered women. And then people started encountering him risen from the dead. Here's why Paul couldn't stop sharing his gospel even though it led him to death row. He had met Jesus risen from the dead. That resurrection to eternal life proved that Jesus was the one who the prophets had foretold. Their message hadn't been all fairy stories and pious hope. It had happened, and Paul was an eyewitness to it. He had to announce that news to the world, no matter what it cost him. Friends, Jesus is the one God promised to King David. He is the Christ who rose from the dead. He is the perfect leader and the eternal leader and the leader ordained by God. And that leader says to you and me what he said to his first disciples: come and follow me. A perfect and eternal king crowned by God in resurrection says to us, come and follow me. The first part of the truth worth dying for is about who Jesus is. The second part is about what he brings. Have a look from verse 10. Find the little 10 in chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. What has Jesus done? He has made it possible for people to obtain salvation, for them to be saved. Who needs to be saved? Who needs to be saved? Yeah, but in general, people who are in danger. Yeah? I'm a scuba diver, and somebody asked me this week if I'd ever been in a life-threatening situation diving. And I have. Many years ago, when I was an inexperienced... Julie's not going to be happy me telling the story because it was a bit traumatic, but many years ago, when I was an inexperienced diver, I trusted a dive guide who took us into a ripping current and, for reasons that I still don't understand, had us fighting against it. And all that effort meant that I chewed through my air quicker and I ran out just as I hit the surface. But the current was worse at the surface, and so I was sort of strung out like a flag on a flagpole holding onto the mooring line while the big float on the end of the mooring line was bashing me in the head. And between the stress and my inexperience at the time, I didn't ditch my weight belt, and so I couldn't keep my head above the waves. And I remember thinking that this was a life and death situation, and death was winning. Thankfully, dive boat wasn't very far away and they spotted what was going on and the boat raced over and a dive guide rescued me. He saved me out of that treacherous situation and back onto the solid deck of the boat. And the Bible is clear that Jesus saves people out of a great danger and into a great blessing. And the passage, this passage focuses on the great blessing, but you can't really appreciate the great blessing without understanding the great danger. Here's the great danger. All of us will stand before the judgment seat of God one day and give an account of the evil that we have thought, spoken, and done. Hebrews 9:27 puts it like this. This is written at the bottom of your outline. Hebrews 9:27 puts it like this. Man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. God sees all. He sees into the depth of our hearts. He sees all with perfectly holy eyes. And if that is true, then the thought of having to give an account before his judgment seat might make us feel uncomfortable. It should. Elsewhere, Paul writes to the church at Rome, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He's removing any delusion that we might have that we can stand before that judgment seat of God on our own merits and have that end well. All have sinned. All harbour evil in their hearts. All fall short of the standard that God has set for us. I know that's true of me. It's also true of you. Nowadays, we don't like to think that we have to live up to other people's standards. We define our own. But we all have a maker and a judge. And he's going to hold us to his standard, whether we like it or not. And in his perfect divine eyes, we all fall short of the life he created us to live. That means we deserve his judgment and condemnation, which is a serious and scary thing. Drowning in guilt before a holy God is not a good situation. It's a situation we need saving from. And Jesus came as the Saviour. He came from heaven, jumped into the treacherous waves of our human existence to rescue us by dying in our place as our substitute on the cross. Hebrews 9:27 tells us we are destined to face his judgment, but then it's followed by Hebrews 9:28. Did you see what that says? So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Jesus saves people from our great danger. He saves us from it by taking that judgment upon his own divine shoulders. And having saved us from that great danger, he saves us into a great blessing, which is what our passage focuses on. Verse 10. In verse 10, the salvation comes with, do you see what it comes with? With eternal glory. In verse 11, we will what with him? We will live with him. In verse 12, we will reign with him. What is this picture that Paul is painting for us? Jesus saves us into the eternal resurrection life that now he now has with God. He saves us into the glory, into the royal identity that he has at God's right hand. Those who belong to Jesus are adopted into God's royal family. Having washed our hearts clean of guilt, he embraces us as a heavenly father, and he offers us a place in Christ's eternal kingdom where we're going to be transformed both inside and outside to be fit to enjoy eternity under his perfect leadership. That's the picture. What will that be like? Can you imagine a world where everything you do and say and think is pure and good, and where that is true of everybody who you interact with each day? Can you imagine a world where you never ever hurt me and I never ever hurt you? Can you imagine a world of no more death or mourning or crying or pain? Can you imagine a world where joy and peace, where deep rest and satisfaction is what you enjoy every day forever? We can't really imagine it, can we? It's so far beyond our experience, so much better than what we have ever had. But that is what Jesus saves people into. Eternal glory, life and reign with him. This is what Jesus brings. If this is who Jesus is and this is what Jesus brings, then how should we respond? My final point, how should we respond? Well, look from verse 11. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. We see two options presented here. I'm going to take them backwards. We can disown Jesus, and we can be faithless towards him. We can do that. I can say in my heart, Jesus, I do not trust you as God's anointed king. I do not want to follow you as king. I can say in my heart, God, you are wrong. God, you are wrong. I do not believe that I needed Jesus to die for me, and I do not believe that I should follow him as king. And if that is what we choose to do, what will we reap? Paul's clear. Jesus will disown us when we stand before the judgment seat of God. He will remain faithful to the truth of who he is and what he's done, regardless of our self-delusion about those things. He will save us. This one is not mine. I have not died for his sins, for her sins. I do not know them. I don't want to hear those words when I stand before the judgment seat of God. I don't want you to hear those words either. And there is no reason to, because there is another way. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we trust Jesus as Saviour and King, then as far as God is concerned, our old selves have died with him at the cross. And we are new people, forgiven people, destined for that glorious eternal life that we already talked about. If we persist in that faith, if we endure in it to the end, then on the day that we stand before God's judgment seat, Christ will say, Father, I have died. I have died for them. And I have prepared a glorious place for them. And the Father of heaven will welcome us with the complete acceptance of perfect love. The complete acceptance of perfect love. This is the message that Paul and Polycarp and Pastor Ilam Sankar and countless others have given their lives to pass on. They were willing to die because they saw that the danger of judgment was so real and the beauty of eternal life with God was so great, and so the message was so important. Jesus is the perfect and eternal King who God sent. He saves all who trust him from the divine judgment that we deserve and into the glory of eternal life. I have passed on the message to you. Maybe for the first time. Maybe you are very familiar with it. Have you trusted yourself to Jesus, the risen King? If you have not, put your trust in him today is my plea. Put your trust in him today. Pray to God. Tell him, I trust Jesus. Thank you for sending him. Please may his death be my death to sin. And start living a life of trust in him as risen King. And if you do trust him as your risen King, if you know the precious truth that your sins are forgiven and that you are destined for eternal glory with him, if you know that, then my question today is, who are you passing on that good news to? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that this news came to us. We live on the other side of the world many, many centuries later. We speak a different language. And yet men and women have risked all so that we could hear this truth. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you more for keeping your promise, for sending the Christ, for proving it's Jesus by raising him from the dead. Father, fill us with faith in him, whether for the first time this morning or in a new way, a richer way, a deeper way, because we see who he is and we see what he brings. We see the glory of salvation. We see the beauty of eternal life. Help us to see them, Father, and so to trust him as the King and Saviour who brings them. And Father, we pray that we might endure that day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, until the Lord Jesus returns, that we might persist and grow in that faith and walk with him as our King and know the blessing of it and the hope of that final blessing that is to come. And Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.